portion of scripture here toward the end of the book of Ephesians in the last chapter here. And Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Or verse number 10, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6 verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'll draw your attention back to verse number 10. The Apostle Paul is finishing up this letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And he says, finally, let me conclude with some things to help you and encourage you and strengthen you in the Lord. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Be strong how? In the Lord and in the power of his might. We're living in a world and a society that idolizes strength. Not just exalts it, but idolizes it. And as we've seen today, and this time of year, if you can shoot a round rubber thing into a metal cylinder and get it in a lot, you're worth something, you know. Or if you can take a stick of wood and hit another rubber thing and hit it at certain distances and where people are sitting, you're worth something, right? And on down through the list of things that we can talk about, and the way the Bible values, or I'm sorry, the way the world values worth, and the value that the world puts on things and what they base it on. It's all based on external performance. But God sees things differently because God doesn't see as man sees. God sees the heart. We know and understand that. We see that principle played out there when David was anointed king in the Old Testament. But we find here that there's something that Paul says it this way, finally, my brethren, I have found that the last words of an individual are usually the ones that they want you to remember. Usually when someone is at the end of their life or going to leave for a period of time, maybe perhaps never see anybody, what do? They give last instructions. And what are those things? Those are the things that they feel are, if I could say it this way, I think you understand, the most important things, right? Not the only important things, but the very important things. We talk about deathbed promises we make to people on their deathbed and things like that. And I promised, you know, so-and-so, and I'm not making light of any of that because it's a very serious thing. But Paul here is writing here to this church at Ephesus, and he's saying, look, finally, let me finish with something here. I want you to remember this beyond anything else that I've said. Be strong. Be strong. Now, how do we measure that strength? How's that strength measured? What is he talking about here? Well, he goes on to say, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, not what you can accomplish, not what you can get done, but be strong in the Lord. And there's a purpose behind all of this. The purpose is because we are in a battle, we're in a warfare. We're in a spiritual war. And then notice what he says after that, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So being strong in the Lord is directly connected to the armor of God. It's directly connected to the things that God has commanded to us through the Apostle Paul, these these items of armor, if you will, these spiritual things that we're to have in our lives. Now, obviously, these aren't things that we physically see, the Word of God, I suppose, is, these are things that help us or equip us and enable us to be prepared for the battle that is coming, the battle that we're in, and the battle that is coming. And in the midst of the battle, guess what happens? We get tired. We get worn out. Because there's effort, there's exertion, there is the attempt to try, and there ought to be, but not on a physical level, on a spiritual level. And Paul is saying, look, ahead of time, I want you to prepare yourself, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because there's an enemy that we're fighting. Go over to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. We'll come back to Ephesians here in a moment if you want to mark that. But look at Isaiah chapter 14. Verse number 4. Isaiah 14, verse number 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Now, we're talking about a human being here, an actual human being, but there's more than that also, and you'll see. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He hath smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This king of Babylon, many believe, and I don't have any reason to disagree, but this king of Babylon was an individual, a human being, who many believe was a person who was actually possessed by the devil. If you study out ancient history, and especially ancient world history, you find that Babylon was a seat for satanic work and worship. It was known for having a lot of Satanism and satanic things going on. And many believe Babylon was the place where Satan actually set up his throne on earth. And of course possessed the king of Babylon. And ruled through him spiritually. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse number 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, or the king of Tyre, the city of Tyre. This was a city that was by the seashore, by the Mediterranean Sea. We hear a lot of the scriptures about Tyre and Sidon, right? So this is a city, this is an actual city, it's an actual location, it's an actual king, a human king. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Look at verse number 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways, from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, I was corrupted. Doesn't sound like he's talking to a human being anymore, does it? Although he is, he's not. Who's he talking to? Satan. So after the king of Babylon died physically, the devil had to possess somebody. And of course, again, Bible scholars believe that the king of Tyre was an individual who the devil possessed. Now, you say, why are you saying all that? I don't believe that according to what the scripture tells us, I don't believe that a child of God can be possessed by the devil or devils. Because we have the Holy Spirit of God residing within us. And the two can't dwell together. But I do believe this. We can be influenced. Some call it oppressed, if you will. We can be oppressed by devils, or what we would refer to as demons. The word demon is not in the Bible, but we understand what we're talking about, these fallen angels. We cannot be possessed, but we can be influenced. So with all of that being said, go back to Ephesians chapter number 6. And notice again what he says here. He says, look, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Why? Because we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood. The difficulties, the struggle, the wrestling that we have is not because of other people. And that's hard to get through our thick minds sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we think, well, I gotta deal with this, or I gotta deal with that person, or I gotta deal with that personality, or whatever it may be. But please understand, the difficulties, the struggle, the wrestling that we have in the life that we live is not with other people. It is with the devil's influence, either upon them or me. Don't make it always somebody else, okay? Don't always make it the devil's influence on somebody else, because he can influence me too. Now, understand this. Be careful about giving the devil too much credit, though. All right? Because he can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. We see that from Job, right? He wanted to kill Job, and God said, no, I'm sorry, you can't take his life. You can take everything he has. You can take his health. You can take everything else. Don't take his life. And of course, the devil couldn't. And understand this, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. He doesn't see everything you're doing. But he does have a system of hierarchy, I believe, and a system of beings, we'll call them beings, demons, devils, who, in my opinion, report back to him wherever he's at right now. He might be here, he might not be here, but I can guarantee you this, there's a messenger here. And I am of the opinion, and again, it's just my opinion, I'm of the opinion that the devil is really only concerned about those who are actually doing something for the Lord. Not necessarily committed to do something for the Lord, but actually doing so. Look, the devil doesn't care how much you commit, as long as you wait till tomorrow to do it, right? I mean, hey, make all the commitment you want to. Oh, he's committing again. Oh, don't worry about it. He's done that 45 other times in the last 3 years, it's fine, no big deal, you know. So the wrestle and the struggle that we have in the life that we live has nothing to do with what you can see and feel and taste and touch and smell. It has nothing to do with any of that. There is a whole nother world that we cannot see. Remember, I think it was it Elisha or Elijah, one of them? I don't remember off the top of my head right now. Remember, they were surrounded by that army? And he prayed to God, said, open Gehazi's eyes. It was Elijah, open Gehazi's eyes. And he opened his eyes, and guess what he saw? He saw a whole host of chariots surrounding the enemy. They were surrounded by an army, but there was a whole other army surrounding them. It was the host of God. And he couldn't see it. But now he sees it. Why? Because there's a whole other world out there that may I say it this way? That is where it's actually happening. Yes, this is real. Okay? It's real. All right? But in a sense, it's not. Because the real battle, the real struggle, the real activity is in a world where we cannot see. It's a struggle between God and the devil. And may I say it this way? I think you understand what I'm saying. We're pawns of the game, so to speak. I hate to devalue us, and you know, I understand God loved us and you know, all of those things, but you understand what I'm saying. We are the parts of the creation that God created that the devil and God are doing their best to try to control. But God gave us all something that maybe the devil didn't bargain on, and that was the ability to choose. Some call it a free will. And we have the ability to choose whether or not we're going to follow the Lord or we're going to follow the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil, if you will. And all of that is being done. There's this whole world functioning and operating and accomplishing and all of that that's going on that we don't even, it's as real as the nose on the end of our faces, but most of the time we don't even recognize it or acknowledge that it exists, but it's there. It's just as, if not more real than what you see around you tonight. And no matter where you go. Because that's where the struggle is actually taking place. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Notice what he says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the whole purpose behind this strength, the whole purpose behind God saying, look, you need to have the armor of God because there's a battle going on and you're in it whether you like it or not. Saved or unsaved, you're in the battle. Saved or unsaved, you're in the battle. Now, as believers, as those who have trusted Christ, we ought to recognize our place in that battle. We ought to be able to do what we can to prepare for the battle. But may I say, most of the time, what do? We get up out of bed in the morning and we go throughout our day, never one time doing anything to prepare for the battle that's coming that day. We go to work, we deal with our families, we go to the grocery store, we drive down the road, and guess what happens? The devil, because of his organization and his structure, his system of structure there, he's got things planned, all right, to discourage you, to defeat you, to destroy you. It might be, may I submit, it might be something as simple as somebody going 3 miles an hour under the speed limit in front of you on your way to work, and you're 10 minutes late. Man, that's frustrating, isn't it? But understand something. That's a silly illustration. You understand what I'm saying, but understand this. The struggle, the wrestling is not with the slowpoke in front of you. It's because the devil knows, in some ways, the devil knows us better than we know ourselves. Because he's got his devils, his cohorts, watching and reporting back. This is how I play out in my mind. You know, devil's wherever he's at, doing whatever he's doing, and a messenger comes to him and says, well, you know what, Dan Weber, I'll tell you what, he messed up again. The devil said, see, I told you I'd get him. I told you that would work, didn't I? You know? Or the messenger comes back and says, hey, devil, that didn't work. You know, he chose God this time. Well, let's try this, 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 or this. And it's a whole huge long list of stuff, right? And usually one of those works. But I said all that to say this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The question is, how do we be strong? Look, God never tells us to do something if he doesn't tell us how to do it. So how do we be strong? Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Ooh. 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 What? I've got to glory in my infirmities? Why? Keep reading. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, watch this, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's interesting, isn't it? It wasn't necessarily Satan himself. It was the messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. The problem is we talk about thorns in the flesh as if they're people. Right? You ever done that? Oh, I'll tell you what, she's a real thorn in my side. I'll tell you what, he's a real thorn in my flesh. Right? But that's, look, those aren't the thorns, okay? The thorns are messengers of Satan. Keep reading. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now watch this. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You want to be strong in the Lord? Learn how to be weak. Learn how to be weak. Look, we're in a battle. You say, that's the opposite. The Bible tells me to be strong. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But yes, exactly, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then I'm able to be prepared with the armor of God, so that I can defeat the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked, so I can stand, and not just stand, so I can withstand the attacks that the devil comes, or the devil brings, that come my way. Well, how am I strong? Got to learn how to be weak. I have to learn, may I say it this way, I have to learn how to embrace weakness. Not just be weak, but embrace it. Paul said, I glory in my weakness. I glory in my infirmities. Keep reading. Look at verse number 9 there. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Be strong in the Lord in the what? Power of His might, right? And how am I strong in the Lord? In weakness. How do I get that power? In infirmities. Now we can stay the rest of this night on what exactly is weakness or infirmities. And God has different things for all of us. But that, may I say it this way? They are the things that force us, if we so choose, that force us to rely on God. That we can't overcome. The problem is oftentimes, what do? We try to, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to deal with it. No. Glory in your infirmities. Understand God allowed it. May I say, God didn't send this thorn in the flesh, but He allowed the thorn in the flesh to be sent. It was a messenger of Satan, not a messenger of God. It was a messenger of Satan that came, what? To buffet him. You ever watched a boxing match? You ever seen anybody get buffeted, right? I mean, that's pretty rough stuff, right? This messenger of Satan was sent to beat me to a pulp, to beat me up, sock me in the nose, give me an uppercut in the chin, to knock me down if possible. Paul said, look, I tried to get rid of this thing. God said, no, 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 no. I want you to understand something, Paul. In your weakness, that's when you become strong. Look what he says in the next verse. Verse number 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Now watch this, for Christ's sake. Okay? Not because I'm just dumb. All right? Not because I'm, you know, I did something stupid and, you know, I'm suffering for it. Look, not everything we suffer is because we're suffering for Jesus. No, sometimes we just do some stupid stuff, don't we? Sometimes we just make some really poor decisions and we suffer the consequences for those things. No, we're talking about the infirmities, the reproaches, the necessities, the persecutions, the distresses for Christ's sake. And look what he says at the end there. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You say, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. It's not. Because that's when I'm strong in the Lord. And I've been commanded by God through the Apostle Paul to be strong in the Lord. Why? Because tomorrow morning when I wake up, I've got a battle, I've got a fight. Even if I don't see another human being all day long, I still got a battle right here, right? Somebody say, wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you see your worst enemy, right? Sometimes. The battle is real. The struggle is real. We hear that statement all the time. The struggle's real. Yes, it is real. But it's not real like they say it is. It's real because there's a devil that's out to destroy you, to discourage you, to defeat you. And he'll do anything he can. He'll walk, somebody said it this way, he'll walk past your door 1,000 times to see it open just a little bit so he can kick it wide open and come on in. And he'll do it. He's walking about, the Bible tells us what? As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know why lions roar? You ever thought about that? Why is he called a roaring lion? Usually when lions hunt, they don't roar. If they did, what would happen? Scare the prey away, right? Well, what's he doing? He's trying to intimidate. He's trying to discourage. He's a roaring lion. You know what that means? That means you ought to be able to hear him coming. The problem is we don't because we're not prepared, because we're not strong in the Lord. How do you get strong? Through weakness. Look over at John chapter 15. Look at John chapter 15. Very familiar portion of Scripture, the vine and the branches. John 15, 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now watch this. For without me, ye can do nothing. Not a few things. You can't do anything. How do we become weak? Or I'm sorry, how do we become strong in the Lord? Learn to abide in Christ. Learn to abide in Christ. You know, if you want a plant to die, what do? Well, the plant itself, you tear it by the roots. But if you got a tree and it's got, you know, branches and things that are hanging over in your yard, you want to get rid of them, you want to, you know, destroy them, what do? You cut them off from the main stem, right? And what happens? Eventually they die. They shrivel up, leaves shrivel up on them and they die, and then burn them, do whatever you want with them. They're not strong anymore. They're weak. They're susceptible. Why? Because they're not connected. They're not abiding in the trunk, in the vine. You want to be strong in the Lord? You want to be ready? You want to have a preparation made so that that armor of God can be put on? By the way, there has to be preparation before the preparation, okay? It's not just about getting the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod. gospel peace and the sword of the Spirit, and I'm ready to go, and I got the shield of faith. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight. It's not just about that. There's preparation before the preparation. You have to strengthen yourself. Years ago, I saw a program about the Coast Guard up in Alaska. You know, there are times where the Coast Guard will not go out to rescue. You know when those times are? When it endangers them. When it's too dangerous for them, put it that way. Why? Because if they risk themselves on that call, they won't be available for all kinds of other calls. You see, look, being strong, we've got to learn, how to abide in Christ. Now, again, that's a whole nother topic, and I recommend you reading this, doing some study on what it means to abide in Christ. We're not going to get into all that tonight. But we've got to learn to abide in Christ. If we're not abiding in the vine, if we're not abiding in Christ, guess what happens? We become weak. We become anemic, and we become easy prey for the devil. Look over the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Look at Acts chapter number 9. This is the account of Saul of Tarsus, who later became known as Paul, and his conversion on the road to Damascus. If you go down to verse number 17, Acts chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. How was Paul strengthened? I think we'd all agree that he was strengthened in the Lord, but how? The gospel message. He was willing to give the gospel message to people. You know what I have found? The more faithful I am to give the gospel message to people, the stronger my faith in God becomes. And I don't know any way to say that. I found that true in my life. I hope you have too. But what I have found is being strong in the Lord is not just about knowing God. And we ought to know God. And maybe we can add that to the list. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about reading the Bible. It's about putting feet to what God has commanded us to do. And I have found in my life that the more faithful I am to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to people around the world, wherever they may be, wherever I go, the more faithful I am in doing that, the stronger I feel in the Lord. Somebody said it this way. You know who the hardest person to witness to is? The first one. But after I give the gospel to the first person, it's like, oh, all my nightmares didn't come true, you know? That wasn't so bad, was it? And what happens? Then I see the next person, not just as a nuisance or somebody in the way, but I see them as a soul that Christ died for. And it emboldens me and empowers me and strengthens me to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And then the next person, let me tell you about Jesus. And by the time I'm three or four into it, man, I'm on a roll. It's like, this is easy. And then, you know, the devil sends somebody and slams the door, whatever it may be. But understand this. Paul here was strengthened. He was strengthened first when he ate meat because he hadn't eaten for a while. Been a little bit of time there. He'd been converted. He was without his sight and all those type of things. But notice there in verse number 22. Look what it says. But Saul increased the more in strength. I don't think that's talking about physical strength. It might be. I might be wrong on that, but I don't think it is. How did he increase in strength? And how and what did he use to confound the Jews? Jesus Christ, the gospel. Because it says back in verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So you cannot separate being strong in the Lord from the gospel message to a lost and dying world. I don't think so. Now, we can go to a lot of other places in the Scriptures. We can go to the Old Testament. We can talk about Joshua. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And be strong and very courageous to do the things that God has told you to do. All through Joshua 1. We can go to the book of Deuteronomy. We find Moses saying some of the same things to the nation of Israel. Be strong, be strong, be strong. We can talk about a lot of other things. But may I say, for this week, tomorrow morning, when you wake up, remember, you're getting up to go to battle. Nothing you can do about it. You're in it. You're in it. You're in the battle. And when you wake up, even if there's no one else in the house, you're still doing battle with this right here. You're waking up to go to battle. Even if all you're doing is battling yourself, you're waking up to go to battle. And yes, we ought to have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and loins girt about with truth and feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace and tying it all together, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We ought to have all those pieces of armor. We ought to be prepared and ready to actually get out into the battle. But before all of that, before a soldier actually puts on any armor and steps onto the battlefield, they go through a whole training regiment. We call it basic training, right? How crazy would it be if somebody went into a United States recruiting office in any branch of the military, signed up, and immediately they sent them over to Iran tomorrow? That'd be insane. No. There's preparation. By the way, there's preparation before they ever give them a weapon, from what I understand. There's preparation before they really ever give them much of a uniform. There's preparation just getting off the bus. They've got to learn some things. They've got to be ready for some things. There's preparation in the whole process. Then they're finally equipped to do the battle. But there's preparation before all of that. Look, the Christian life is no different. We want the equipment. We want the armor of God. We want to be able to step onto the battlefield. And we've never done anything to strengthen ourselves, to build up our spiritual muscles, to be prepared for the battle that we all face every single day of our lives. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. And be strong in the power of His might. How does that happen? Weakness, infirmities, persecutions, distresses, weakness. How does that happen? Abiding in Christ. How does that happen? The gospel of Christ. And if we'll involve those things, we'll be that much more ready to actually take that armor and put it on and do the battle that we're all going to face when we walk out those doors. Not even when we wake up in the morning. The battle that you're in right now, sitting in the pew. The battle that we're in all the time. Get ready. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. You may not see it. You may not know it's coming. You may not know it's right around the corner, but it's coming. There's a battle. Be ready for it. Father, help us with this truth. We thank you for your word and how it guides us and leads us. Father, thank you for the instruction we have here, the command that we have to be strong in you. Be strong in the Lord. God, forgive us for the times that we go out to battle on your behalf, and we do it in our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our own weapons. Father, help us to rely on you. Help us to embrace the weakness and the infirmities so that your strength can be made perfect in those things. Help us to abide in Christ, to stay connected to the vine, so that we can have the nourishment that we need to stay strong. God, help us to be faithful in giving the gospel so our faith can be increased and we can grow and be strong in you. Father, help us. Help us to realize again, anew and afresh, that we're in a battle, we're in a struggle, and we need your help. In Christ's name, stand with you, would. Piano's going to play. Number 278. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. Altar's open. You can talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord right where you are. Whatever God's putting his finger on in your life, talk to the Lord about it. Do business. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. And I grabbed one, a few of these. And we've got these gospel tracts out, a little card. I know you've seen them. I hope so. But they're on the track rack out there. We've got several different tracts out there. We've got our church times and different things on that. And I'm not going to check and see if you, you know, and watch and see if you do. But would you take one of these and give it to somebody this week? And just, you know. You say, "Well, I'm shy." Well, leave it at your table at McDonald's or something. I don't know, but give it to somebody. Invite somebody to church next week. Be praying for all those that'll be here, of course, this week and or this coming week. And be praying about the egg hunt on Friday. And as I said, if you have any questions or need any information on that, see Miss Amber, and she can help you with that. Brother Tweed, I'll turn it over to you.
Everybody, hear me?